Welcome to Super Metal World Podcast. It's Ty.
And it's Michael.
And today we're going to be talking about Slayer!
Slayer.
Slayer rules. It's all about Slayer. Of course, any metalhead who's anybody,
yeah.
I think is what I was trying to say.
Any intelligent, well-informed metalhead
would know that Slayer is calling it quits. They kind of released a video about it.
Yeah, I think they tweeted out a video, and there's a video on their YouTube channel about their last tour.
The last hurrah. And they're going to have Anthrax on that tour, Lamb of God and Behemoth. Is that correct?
That is...
Am I missing anybody?
And Testament,
yes. Yes. They're coming fairly close to us, so hopefully we can hit that up and do a podcast about how awesome it was. Now, anyway, this episode's pretty much going to be all about Slayer. We're going to dig into our top 10 favorite Slayer songs that we came up with. And as always, you can shoot us an email at supermetalworld@gmail.com. We are on iTunes. We are on Stitcher. You can find us on all your major social media platforms, such as Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just search Super Metal World Podcast. And I think we'll let it run.
Before we get into the meat of the podcast today, we're going to discuss the Grammys.
Yeah.
The winners were just announced. The Grammy Music Awards. Some people get into them. Some people don't.
Yeah. Historically, I think they just don't know what to do with metal.
Yeah.
They don't understand.
I think Tenacious D won Best Metal Performance 1 year.
Yeah. I mean, shouts to Tenacious D. We love them. But
they themselves knew. They were like, why are we winning this award?
Right.
They Jack Black. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
And then, of course, there was the James Hetfield's mic not working and, Jethro Tull way back in the day. Probably the first slight at metal was Jethro Tull winning Best Metal Album or Performance or whatever over Metallica's And Justice for All.
Yep, that's right.
Anyway, the Grammys suck, but at the same time, it's nice to that these bands do get some hardware. Like Megadeth getting their Grammy last year was awesome, because I think that's been long deserved.
The last two or three years, I think right now, I think there's only Best Metal Performance. The others kind of fall into rock, and some metal bands make it into the rock performance.
It's so
the rock
dumb.
Stuff, but...
How hard is it to just say Best Metal Song and Best Metal Album?
Right.
And, why does it have to be Best Metal Performance? That's weird.
I don't know. Rock has a performance, and I don't know the difference between... If anyone knows the difference between Best Rock Performance and Best Rock Song, please tell me.
Because that dumb.
That's just dumb.
Anyway, so the nominees for the Best Metal Performance was Mastodon's Sultan's Curse, August Burns Red's Invisible Enemy, Body Count's Black Hoodie, Code Orange's Forever, and Meshuggah's Clockworks. And Sultan's Curse took home the hardware for that, correct?
That is correct.
So
congratulations to Mastodon. Well earned.
Well deserved.
Well deserved. Hard earned.
Whatever.
Good. Good. Excellent.
Good on you.
Good music. Mastodon. Love it. Metal.
And also congrats to all the nominees.
Yes.
That was the potatoes of our podcast, and we'll swing it over. It's time for the meat.
Ooh, the meat. The Slayer. Slayer is the meat. The red meat.
Mm-hmm.
The bloody red meat.
The bloody red. Yeah, they would. If Slayer was a steak, it would definitely be
rare.
Rare.
Yes.
Thank you.
Even not cooked.
Maybe
raw?
Just eating a cow.
Raw.
Maybe
Slayer,
eating
yes.
a live cow.
Just a live cow. It would be alive.
Yes.
Slayer the live cow.
Yes. If they were meat, it would be not a cannibal. A cannibal wouldn't eat it. Unless it was a cow eating a cow. That's Slayer.
That's pretty metal.
That's Slayer.
Cow. Okay.
Anyway.
Slayer. Cow eating cow. Cannibal cow. Raw cow.
Cow steak. Eating cow sounds like a pretty cool metal either song or name. Cow eating cow. Cow eats cow. It's just a cow eats cow world. Anyhow,
Slayer.
We have Slayer to talk about.
We mentioned earlier that on January 22nd, they posted a video on YouTube and Twitter called "The End Is Near." Dot dot dot.
The infamous dot dot dot.
Classic thrash ellipses.
Yep.
Slayer to make its exit with one final world tour. So this is it.
Do you think this is really it? Or is it like, you know how sometimes
Slayer,
they...
I don't think Slayer would fuck around.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Because it seems like a lot of these bands... I mean, I shouldn't say a lot, but it seems like sometimes a lot of bands will be like, this is our last tour. And then 5 years later or 3 years
JK.
Later, they're like, yeah, never mind. This is our last tour. Yeah. But I think you're right. And especially with the passing of Hanneman. And,
yeah.
But I think like King will continue to make music in some form or another.
That.
I could see him continuing to... to go on with some other band.
Yeah, definitely. And their current guitarist, Gary Holt.
Yes.
Yep. From Exodus. He'll definitely continue.
Yeah, I feel like King and Holt could do something.
My guess is this...
but not Slayer. Not as Slayer.
This ending of Slayer, this final world tour, is the retiring of Tom Araya. I think that's probably what this is.
No, I agree with that. Yeah.
Because he had, I think, in... I think it's probably been a couple years now. I don't know. He had like neck surgery, kind of just like
Dave.
Dave did, right? Yep. Just like Tom Araya like had to. I don't keep using his full name, Mr. Araya, Mr. Tom Araya,
T A. Yeah, and if you don't have Hanneman, you don't have Araya. It's tough to continue as Slayer. That makes no sense. So I could see King and Holt maybe joining forces and doing some other project.
Yep.
Anyway, I digress. What else do you got for us?
I got a little history with some facts about Slayer.
Curl up by the fireplace, y'all. I'm about to historize you.
Slayer was formed in 1981 by guitarists Kerry King and Jeff Hanneman and drummer Dave Lombardo and bassist and vocalist Tom Araya. They were picked up and kind of signed or given an opportunity to release a record through Metal Blade Records after Brian Slagle, who had just at the time recently created Metal Blade Records.
Yep.
He heard them perform at a club in Anaheim. And they must have been really good at this club because 6 out of these 8 songs were like all covers. They only played 2 original songs at the club. I think they were opening for, I think like some band that I had not heard of before called like Quits or something out in California.
What the hell would Slayer cover?
Iron Maiden.
Okay. That's pretty reasonable. I'd like to hear that.
Yeah.
But I just can't imagine. And I'm naive because I'm not like a huge... I mean, I am a fan of Slayer, but not like a super fan. So maybe they have covered things. And I think they actually have covered some songs, like some more punky type songs. Anyway, I'm at the risk of sounding like an idiot. You can continue.
in my Slayer research, I was kind of doing a deep dive on Slayer history. I found out that... I didn't know this. Maybe you knew this. But... in 1984, in February, so it lasted less than a month, Kerry King joined Megadeth.
Nope, I had no idea.
But then he left less than a month later, apparently, before February ended, because it was, quote, taking too much of my time.
Living too much time in Megadeth.
Dave drives his slaves pretty hard.
Yeah, he probably does.
So that's where, like, some of the feud in the band, between the band. I mean, there's always, like, rivalry in the Big Four.
Yeah.
But that's where... I think a lot of the Megadeth-Slayer feud kind of stems from.
It's funny how there's like, they all just didn't get along.
Yeah.
There's all weird history with them, with all the Big Four I'm talking about.
I know.
Well, maybe not Anthrax. Maybe Anthrax didn't have beef with anybody, but.
Yeah, Anthrax seems to be everyone's just like, they're just like the little brother of the
little
Big
bro.
Four.
The little bro.
But I was watching a video. I think it's a, who does... There's a video, Metal Magazine does a, like, questions and answers, like Q&A, or Wikipedia Fact and Fiction. That's the name of the video series. And they did one with David Ellefson, the bassist from Megadeth, and he talked about the feud and that they've kind of, you know, they're all, like, grown adults with families now. They've kissed and made up, so.
You're right.
That's good. Rain and Blood, Slayer's number 3 album, was released by Def Jam Recordings.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's like a hip hop label.
Yeah, that's.
And they cool. They continued to release with that label at least through South of Heaven. Their next record they released on like basically the continuation of Def Jam. They renamed. I can't think of the name of it right now, but they like renamed.
Yeah.
Renamed from Def Jam to something else. American Recordings or something. But Columbia Records didn't... They refused to distribute Rain and Blood because of the song Angel of Death. Because it's all about, like, you know, like a Nazi.
Auschwitz.
Yeah. So.
Whatever.
Probably not going to. I'm not going to say that too much more.
Yeah.
anyway, Geffen Records distributed it, but it did not appear on a release schedule because of the controversy. So it didn't get like any radio play. It was their first like certified gold record.
Right.
Still managed to get up onto like the Billboard 100 charts, but basically no airplay at all. Like,
yeah, that's impressive that like that's the cool thing about the big four thrash bands, that they were all able to be as successful as they were with very little publicity, at least to start out with.
Yep. Yeah. It goes to show you the power and like, I don't know,
the strength of their
songwriting and like how good the bands are.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dave Lombardo, the drummer.
Yep.
Is incredible drummer.
I guess former, right? He's not really with them.
No, he left, I think, like three different times. In 1987, he left.
Yeah.
Because they were like signed with a record label, but he couldn't like pay for his like electricity and like utilities at home because they were still trying to make it, but they were signed, but they weren't getting paid. So like midway through like the Rain and Blood tour, he had to quit the band because he was like sick and tired of like not being able to pay for his like utilities and like bills at home, which is kind of insane.
That is very insane.
So that sucks.
That does suck.
But then he came back.
I got money now.
Yeah. He came back quite soon after that. I think he didn't like quit the band because he didn't like the members. I think he just like quit the band because it was like
couldn't afford to live.
Like, whatever. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm sure there was like some upsetment there between the members. But then he left again in like 91 or 92 after Seasons in the Abyss released, and then joined up again, I think, for the God Hates Us All album.
Wow.
And then left in 2011 or something like that.
So, big major Slayer fan is definitely fact checking you right now, but that's okay.
But he's left and come back like three different times. Anyway,
sure.
He's a great drummer, known as like the Godfather. He's been called the Godfather of the double bass.
Mm.
It's like most of the double bass, or like all the double bass you hear in metal
can kind of stem from more than likely
comes from that. The album Rain and Blood by Dave Lombardo. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
So, Slayer.
They rule.
We should mention Jeff Hanneman passing in 2013.
Yes, rest in peace.
Possibly the cause of the breakup. I know Tom Araya has said, you know, after 30 years, it would literally be like starting over, was one of his quotes. So that's probably a big influence. I know Tom Araya has like...
He did a lot of the, well...
High school-aged kids and stuff, so he's like...
Yeah. Well, Hanneman did so much of the songwriting, you know, the guitar work, and a lot of those iconic riffs.
Yep.
As far as personally, I just wanted to kind of discuss, because we're about to dig into this. Are you going to talk about this article a little bit?
Yes.
Why don't you talk about the article?
Well, there's a...
And then I'll get into it.
Metal Hammer article about...
Or Team Rock.
Team Rock, Metal Hammer.
Yeah.
Like, were purchased by Team Rock. They used to be Metal Hammer.
Yeah. We're a little confused.
I'm a little confused by it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to worry about it. Anyway, it's an article from teamrock.com, but it's got a Metal Hammer tag.
Yep.
It's got to be Metal Hammer. I don't know. The world will never be the same without Slayer. I definitely agree. But he says, one of the quotes from the article, I would say, they've been accused of being too conservative. A batshit crazy thing to say when you consider A, what they sounded like, and then in parentheses, a flight of stairs being thrown down a flight of stairs.
I think that's
which is hilarious and accurate. And B, what they were singing about, in parentheses, death, Satan, murder, and more death.
It's too conservative to sing about that, guys. And obviously, it's kind of tongue-in-cheek that he's saying that, because you know, when people say that, they're talking about the songwriting process, how they...
The same.
They kind of stayed in their groove, mm-hmm. you know, they didn't take, like, big chances, but, you know, it worked for them, and that's kind of what I was going to dig into, how, like, the big four have been iconic in so many ways, but they all get all this criticism, and there's a lot of controversy caused between fanboys of each, you know, if you're a Slayer fanboy or whatever. I'm not saying everybody's like this, but the funny thing is, like, you know, I'll be straight up front. Metallica is my favorite band of all time. You know, they're the first metal band I discovered. There's a lot of things personally that I connect with. They're tattooed on my body. But I really like Megadeth. Like, Megadeth is probably just a little bit below Metallica in my tier. And then Slayer's just a little bit further below. And then Anthrax is a little further. I'm sorry, Anthrax. I just didn't dig into your guys' stuff as much. But I like them all. And I try not to hate on... I've never hated on Slayer, really. I respect what they do.
I think that's... I don't know. When people always talk about, like, these hardcore metal fans being, like, dicks, I feel like most of the time it's, like, the hardcore fans of one of those... Probably one of those three bands. Anthrax.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe other fans, like, shit on Anthrax, but I don't think... I've never seen an Anthrax fan, you know, get all over one of the other bands.
No, I don't think so. You know, I really think that, you know, as... Like, for me, being Metallica's my favorite band, I feel like Metallica is... It has to be the... They're probably the most, right now, most iconic and the biggest metal band in the world, but I feel like they're also the most hated metal band in the world. Like... As far as the amount of criticism that they get.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
You know, like, they get more criticism. And they're out there. They're just a big band, so everybody can kind of say their two cents about them. But it kind of... I liken it to... And sorry for the sports analogy for people who don't pay attention to sports, but I liken it a little bit to Duke and North Carolina. You know, when you choose your allegiance, you know, I'm a Duke Blue Devil fan or I'm a North Carolina Tar Heel fan... That puts you into this category where people are like, so Duke's your favorite team?
Immediately judging.
Where they immediately can judge you. And, like, I was telling Michael this story because we kind of talked about this a little bit prior to the podcast. And I was saying how, like, when people ask me my favorite band, I say Metallica. And I kind of, like, mentally prepare myself for something to be...
For some, like, onslaught of, like, oh, bro, you know.
Because, like, to me, it's like I run this metal podcast, but, like, people could view that as saying... Man, you run this metal podcast, but you like the most vanilla basic bitch metal band. You know, like you just think of all the things they could say. And whatever. People can say what they want. And, you know, teach their own. But the music and why you like bands, it's so subjective, you know, how they enter your life. But where do you sit with the big four?
I think my order is the same as yours. I think I bump I might bring Megadeth closer to Metallica. Like, Megadeth and Metallica for me is, like, tied.
Okay.
So tied at one. And then Slayer is up close. And then Anthrax, basically, I have no, like, very little experience with Anthrax.
Let's be forthright. Both of us have very little. And we don't mean that in a slight. We just have never dug into them.
No, it's just like... I don't know. I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you.
But we both grew up with a lot, honestly, a little bit more Metallica and Megadeth than we did Slayer. But I still think Slayer has put out really great material. But, like, obviously this isn't the Metallica, Megadeth, Slayer podcast, so I'll get off this subject quickly. But, you know, another album I can remember that I really enjoyed when I was younger that probably doesn't get as much... fair criticism today, or maybe it does a little bit, but The System Has Failed and United Abominations. Growing up, we were in high school when those albums were released, and I really like The System Has Failed. Maybe people don't like that album, but I think it's a great album. I actually really like that album. And then I thought releasing United Abominations was a great follow up.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, The System Has Failed has, like, Of Mice and Men and Scorpion and Blackmail the Universe, Die Dead Enough, Back in the Day, Truth Be Told, Here's in a Vial. I'm just naming
the whole track list. All the track lists. I'm thinking, just like, damn, that's a good track list.
It's a really awesome album. Anyway, we're not talking about those bands.
Slayer.
But I will pull, I just want to read this quote from the article because it really got me thinking. First, I was a little upset. Then I had to reflect back on it. And I think it's just really interesting to think about. And we'll talk about if we agree or disagree.
Like, I think the reason why we bring up...
This is why we're talking about...
The other bands of the Big Four is it's basically impossible to talk about like one of these bands without talking about the others.
Yes.
You know, in like sort of like a criticism type, you know, reflection way.
Yeah.
You just have to talk about them.
And that's why we did, because, okay, I'll read the quote. So this is out of context, kind of halfway through the article, but here we go. Exhibits A, B, C, and D. That untouchable run of albums they made from Hell Awaits to Seasons in the Abyss. Only Metallica have come close to matching it, and they never made Rain and Blood. Slayer pushed the boundaries of brutality, just as just ask Slipknot or Napalm Death, or anyone who ever floored the pedal and watched the speedometer pass 300 beats per minute. You can ask Lars Ulrich and James Hetfield too. Metallica couldn't wait to throw off the shackles of thrash metal as soon as they could, and rightly so. But one of the reasons they did that was because they knew they couldn't compete with Slayer. No one could. Even then, Lars Ulrich was still keeping an eye on their rivals, just as anyone in their right mind would. Every time Metallica drifted too far from their comfort zone, it was the thought of what Slayer would do that pulled them back in. They weren't just the compass for Metallica, they were the compass for heavy metal. I think those are very strong words.
Yes, that's a very strong passage.
A huge, bold statement, but I think it's, you know, rewind that back if you have to listen to me say that again, but I think it's just very a thought-provoking statement, because I've never thought of it that way. I always thought that Metallica kind of threw off the shackles for thrash because, you know, Cliff Burton died for one, so you lose this big creative driving force in the band, and, you know, people who aren't like Metallica fanboys, maybe you don't know that, but like that was a huge loss for them.
Yes.
And I just always kind of thought that Metallica's thing was always to kind of on every album push the boundaries somehow. Another thing, I mean, yes, they never made Rain and Blood, but they did make Master of Puppets.
Yeah, that section, that sentence is a little weird to me.
Yeah, because he says the untouchable run from Hell Awaits to Seasons in the Abyss. He's cutting off their first album, which is Show No Mercy. And Michael and I were saying that that album has way too much reverb on it.
Like, wait, what's up with that? What's up with, like, the old school metal and, like reverb up your ass? Like, it was supposed to be, like, metal up your ass. Like, just freaking reverb.
I think it had a little bit to do with, at the time, like, all the hair metal and glam metal was probably had some reverb on it. Oh, and that was, like, popular.
Oh,
and
man.
Probably even pop music had reverb on it.
Yeah.
I would guess it was just a gimmick of the time a little bit. But anyway, I think that is a very interesting statement. I'd love to hear thoughts on, you know, from the Hell Awaits to Season in the Abyss and compare that. You know, I guess you'd have to compare that from Ride the Lightning to the Black Album if they're doing it that way. You know what I mean?
That's fair. Well, you could argue maybe like the Black Album is metal.
Yeah, I mean, if you that album to me sits between rock and metal.
Yeah.
It's a great, it's like a Godsmack album before a Godsmack album existed.
That's fair.
So, but I don't know. Anyway, and then at the same time, compare, you know, Megadeth, a run of albums. So I don't know. I think that's a really thought-provoking statement. And I think it's really interesting to think, I feel like this guy likes Slayer more than the other bands. And all this can be,
I think that's pretty obvious.
And all these things can be subjective. But like, to say that no one can compete with Slayer in the thrash metal realm, I don't know. I don't know. I think that's very interesting. Because like, I believe that Megadeth's Rust in Peace and then Rust in Peace and why am I forgetting the name of the album with Peace Sells?
That's what it's called.
I'm just an idiot. Okay, those two albums. And then of course Metallica has
Master of Puppets.
Yes, Master of Puppets, Ride the Lightning, and Justice for All and Kill 'Em All.
Yep.
You know, as their kind of classic four. Anyway, I'm going to stop rambling, but I think it's just very thought-provoking. And if anybody wants to send us thoughts on that, we would love to hear them and maybe talk about them in later podcasts.
Like, yeah, when I hear him talk about, you know, like, you know, the untouchable run, only Metallica has come close to matching it and never made a Rain in Blood. It's like, I think about that. Like, right away when I hear that, I think that's just like a statement trying to get rise out of people. But I, you know, the more I think about it, it's like, oh, you know, like maybe
I think there is some credence to it.
I think, yeah, I don't.
If you're thinking truly thrash metal. But anyway,
yeah,
we just thought it was very thought provoking and we could probably talk about that for another like 30 minutes, but we will save you guys our rambling and me forgetting my favorite band's fucking album names. What the fuck is that? Choking.
What's the Megadeth album with Peace Sells on?
I couldn't think of Kill 'Em All either. What's wrong with me? Slayer. Because Slayer's putting in my head. They're like, this is our podcast. Or this is our episode. Dude. Stop talking about
get those your other assholes two bands out of your brain. We're here to talk about Slayer.
God damn it. Okay. So that being said, we are going to give you the Super Metal World top 10, our top 10 favorite Slayer songs. These are not, don't think of it as the 10 greatest songs Slayer ever made. Think of it as the 10 songs that Ty and Michael like the most that Slayer has made.
Pretty much, yeah.
Think about it that way. And you know what? You can bash our playlist. We would love it. You know, we love the debate.
Yeah.
You can send us your own top 10, yada, yada. Okay. So we're going to just kick this off with number 10. And number 10 comes off of the album Hell Awaits, and it's the song Hell Awaits. Now, we didn't include a song from the first album because, as previously stated, we are not fans of a shit ton of reverb.
There's also
Black Magic did not make the list.
Yeah, Black Magic is our runner up of this list.
Like, yeah, it would be number 11
if we had number 11 Black Magic.
Yep. So we're gonna play a little segment from Hell Awaits, and here it is. Not to cut Tommy Boy off there, but you gotta love how back in the day the thrash metal songs had such a build up.
Yes,
like when we went over Flotsam and Jetsam and like some of the Canadian Big Four.
Man,
it's awesome. You know, I love how they kind of intricately like this, create like, this
build atmosphere. Like just like piece by piece construct the song, and then we go.
Yep,
we need to. Yeah, it's awesome.
We much appreciate this song over Black Magic because there's way less reverb on his voice.
You can actually understand. Yeah, you can actually like.
Yeah.
Like hear Tom sing.
It has a really cool like groove that dun 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 dun. And now just on the second listen, that bass in there is awesome. It's like very like
That's what, like the early especially like the early albums, I think this album and the previous album.
Show No Mercy or
Show No Mercy.
We both can't think of things.
My goddamn mind.
Yeah.
Show No Mercy and Hell Awaits.
Yep.
Have like really heavy Tom Araya bass.
He's strongly featured.
Very strongly featured.
He came in after the record
even I think like even in the later, at least, you know, I don't know. I just love loud bass. I play bass, so I love loud bass.
Yeah, and we've talked about how Megadeth also appreciates bass.
Yes.
And of course Metallica, we know the history of non-bass appreciation, although they are remastering some of their tracks. Anyway, that brings us to number 9.
Mandatory Suicide. This is off the album South of Heaven.
Yes, and we're going to play the intro into the first verse of this song. Here we go.
We'll be right back.
Mm. That was awesome.
Yep.
It was very intense.
I find it very... That's off, what, 1988.
Oh, are you talking about...
The year.
No, yep, yep.
South of Heaven, 1988. I think it's really cool how if you listen to, like, Hell Awaits, then Rain and Blood... They're classic four albums. Hell Awaits, Rain of Blood, South of Heaven, Seasons in the Abyss. Like, you can, like, hear everyone in the band get, like, just way better at everything they do.
Better at their craft.
Yeah, yeah. Like, the songs, like, the writing, everything just, like... Not that it was bad before. Not that they were, like...
No, they're just progressing.
They just, like, become just so much better. Like,
yeah, better musicians.
Yeah, and it's great.
Mastering their craft and everything like that. Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. All right, so that brings us to our number 8, which is Bloodline off of God Hates Us All. Here is that track. I love Tom's just aggressive yelling
just
vocals.
Just shouting into your face.
I would think that's one of the few Slayer songs that has like a somewhat normal like verse chorus format.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yep. Like it actually has like a, that's got to be like, I don't know. And I'm saying this like tongue in cheek, but like maybe they're one of their most mainstream type songs. Yeah, considering
that's fair.
The music video is also kind of terrifying. If you have a phobia to blood,
a lot of blood,
I would advise not watching.
That's a Slayer theme is blood,
definitely
blood and Satan.
And what that album or that album that yeah, that was off of God Hates Us All, which was released like early 2000s, right? Mm-hmm. Like I think it was like 2001. Yeah, okay. And you said that had Lombardo on it.
I believe it did. If I remember correctly, I.
If I recall correctly. I'll let you introduce number 7.
Number
though.
7 is off the album Rain and Blood, and we call this track, Slayer calls this track this the name as well. It's called Postmortem. That's the name of the track.
Nice.
Yeah. So
we also call it Postmortem.
Everyone, most people call it there's not an alternative name for this song.
Maybe PM.
PM. That's probably the people in the back that do like all the roadies and the guitar techs and stuff. They just like PM.
Yeah. They're doing PM. We got to
get the PM guitars.
Yeah. We got PM guitars and the whatever. This okay. Anyway, here
post-mortem.
It is. Here it is.
Bet you didn't know Tom could do that.
Yeah, I love on the early albums how he pulls that out.
Yeah, that's a frequent staple of Tom Araya's vocal delivery. And
at least on the first like
First three, for sure.
First three. I don't know if he does that on South of Heaven or Seasons in the Abyss.
He might do it here and there, but it's definitely not as, like...
frequent.
Part of like, his, I don't know, vocal delivery.
We figured that one might be a little bit of a controversial in the top 10, but we... I don't know. It's we really dig that song. We like the main riff and the fact that it doesn't have a chorus. Like you said, right? There's no that song, lyrics that
there's
repeat
no
in that
repeating
song.
Lyrics. So there's no like, I don't know, kind of like a. It's just a.
The chorus basically is that dan chicka da down.
Yeah, a guitar riff is the chorus.
Yeah, which is pretty neat. All right, what's the next?
So four, number six.
Whoa, number six on the. Top 10
we
metal
get a soundboard. War Ensemble.
All right. And
I think he always shouts this before every song, every time they go, War Ensemble!
That's pretty good.
Thank you. I should. I'll contact Kerry King.
Yeah, like, maybe. Yeah, maybe. Maybe you can take over.
Get on his next. Yeah. Anyway,
here we go. Yeah, I love that chorus.
Yep.
Tell that thing you were telling me about the guitars, how they like panned hard left or right.
Yeah, I haven't quite figured it out. I need to watch, like, I don't know, like, which solos belong to who.
Right.
Like which...
if it's King or Hanneman. Yeah, right. Yeah.
And I've noticed there's always, like, even on their live albums, the guitar solos, when they happen, they're always like panned, like way hard to the left and way hard to the right.
So whoever it is, one of them's left and one of them's right,
I don't know,
maybe?
Because I know Kerry King is always on, like when you're in the crowd watching the stage, Kerry King's always on the right. So he's standing on Tom Araya's left. So
yeah,
my guess is when you listen to the albums and you hear the solos, my guess is the right ear is Kerry King.
Sure, I mean.
That's my hunch.
I don't know, yeah, we haven't deep dive. You know, if somebody knows that, once again, let us know.
That would be an interesting fact.
All right, we will we'll be talking about number five.
Top five. Number five on Super Metal World Podcast.
Oh my god!
What?
So done. Okay. Anyway, number five is Angel of Death, off of Rain and Blood. And here it is. Okay, I can't let that go too far because I got another segment of this song I'm going to show you guys. This one gets a twofer.
Ooh.
A daily double. Like, is that Jeopardy that does daily doubles?
Yes.
All right. Here's the next part before we talk more about it.
Mind starts to boil, freezing cold, cracks your limbs. How long can you last in this frozen water?
That bridge riff is just freaking gnarly.
It's pretty hellacious. And I was just thinking, as we were rocking out to that, isn't there what Slayer song? There's like a Disney version of that song.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know if it's Angel of Death or Rain and Blood or something like that.
I think it's Angel of Death. Someone like...
Yeah. Disneyfied it.
Yeah, it basically like covers it, but...
It's like really happy song.
Yeah, he makes it really happy. He also did a Cannibal Corpse song.
Yeah.
And other like metal songs that he'll like do clean guitars, like an acoustic guitar, and he'll like full on play the full riff. And yeah, he sings to it like Mother to the Kingdom of the Dead.
Yeah, it's worth the check out. Just type in like Slayer, Angel of Death, Disney.
Yeah,
Slayer, Disney.
You'll find it.
And you'll find it.
The first time I heard that song when like that, he comes in with the squeal, like, or the when he just screams at the beginning.
Yeah,
I realized that was oh, we're starting off with a guitar solo.
Yeah,
but then he like brings her, he brings it down, and then it's oh, that's a dude.
Yeah, and he can still do that pretty well live. He can't get quite as high as back in the day, but that's to be expected. I feel like the top five get very subjective and a little bit interchangeable, but maybe not. I don't know. We could be pulling.
Yeah, like
it out of our
A part of me is like Angel of Death at number five.
Yeah, right.
Is that like,
are we doing a huge disservice?
This is Super Metal World Podcast's list, so
that brings us. Well, I won't say it. It's your turn.
This is number four. This is the title track off of Seasons in the Abyss, and this is called Seasons in the Abyss.
Okay, you're just gonna do that one straight ahead. Okay, no soundboard, huh? That's
all
right.
Oh.
No, you can do that one clean because we've done soundboard on the last
two.
So
I figured, this
change
song,
of pace.
The song starts with a clean guitar intro, so I needed a...
That's true. You had to be, I get what you're saying. Okay, here we go. So gnarly.
Yeah, that's a tasty riff. If you watch the music video, I think that was the first music video for, no, that's not right at all. Never mind. Forget I said anything about that.
It's a good music video though.
It's a good music video. Yeah. And, you watch those old videos with like Kerry King with hair.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Oh yeah, that is weird.
It's weird.
I did notice that.
I don't know.
I was like, who is that?
I don't know along the timeline when Kerry King went bald.
When all his hair transferred to his chin.
Yeah, he... Yeah. Anyway,
we got more. We got more from Seasons in the Abyss.
Oh yes.
Yeah. We got was this the chorus? I think we're gonna play.
Oh yes. Yeah. Sorry. We should continue on. We got part two of our little Seasons of the Abyss. The chorus. I love how melodic, like, Seasons of the Abyss, Seasons in the Abyss is, like, a beautiful mix of, like, the, like, how, like, heavy and in-your-face Rain and Blood is, and, like, how melodic South of Heaven is.
Right.
I think, like...
Kind of marries the two.
Yeah, Seasons in the Abyss is just, like, a beautiful mix of them.
Yeah, like, if I had to pick, like, for me, it's difficult to say which one is ahead of the other, but Seasons in the Abyss and South of Heaven are, like... my two favorite Slayer albums, and then Rain and Blood is right there too, of course, but like, yeah, those two just really do it for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know which would go first, Seasons of the Abyss or South of Heaven, but all right, that brings us to number three.
Breaking the top three.
The top three. Oh my God, three.
What? What is that?
I don't know. Some sound weird soundboard stuff.
We need to get a soundboard. Someone hook us up with a soundboard.
Three. All right. Number three is Dead Skin Mask. And we're gonna play that, then we'll talk about it. Here we go.
Stay a while, and I promise I won't keep you long. I'll keep you forever.
Okay, once again, a very, like, I don't know, great intro.
They're dark always, and menacing and evil.
I think this is one of their, for me, this is one of their creepiest.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, as far as the tone they set with the song, with that opening riff, it's just a really creepy lead. And anyway, we'll talk about it more after we play kind of the chorus of this song, which is right here.
Dance with the dead in my dreams. Listen to the hallowed screams. The dead have taken my soul. Temptations lost all control. Simple fire.
Anyway, so this song is about kind of just a serial killer, right? He basically, like, cuts people's skin off, and kind of like the guy in Silence and the Lambs, Buffalo Bill, I think, or whatever that guy is that they're looking for.
Yeah.
That Clarice is looking for.
I know.
I don't know if he, I think he wears them. Then he wears them.
Yes. Tom Araya is like a huge, like, has a huge interest personally in serial killers and stuff. So I think that's where, you know, a lot of
the psychology behind it all is very interesting.
I mean, it's perfect for metal, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, it works really well. So,
yeah, that song is...
It's like, just set the like tone that it's set. Yeah.
And creepy and foreboding.
And the lyrics are really good.
Yeah.
But it's actually one of the song. The big part of the reason I really like that song is it's like one of the first Slayer songs I learned on guitar, because I remember it was like in a Guitar World, they had Dead Skin Mask.
Okay.
So
this is also one of the Slayer songs that has like a playable section that someone who's not incredibly
right.
good
like
at guitar can
yeah,
play.
Like, yeah, a good intro. Like yeah. The intro is a good like beginner's version. So,
yep.
All right.
So number two, we are at number two now in
Whoa.
Our list. Number two.
Oh my God.
Top two. Second to last.
Second. What do you mean? Not second to last.
Second to last in the list. Second to first.
The first loser.
Okay. This is Raining Blood.
Yeah, Raining Blood, not Rain in Blood.
Raining Blood off of the album
Rain in Blood.
Rain in Blood.
That gets a little confusing.
It was confusing for me, like when I was like, oh, you know, I too enjoy the album Raining Blood.
And
you're
like,
no,
like,
you're wrong.
You idiot.
You're dumb.
It's Rain in Blood, not Rain. Okay. Anyway, here it is.
We'll be right back.
You just want to keep playing it.
It's so good.
Yeah. We got the extended play that time.
I don't know what kind of like sadistic asshole would want to write that sort of riff.
They would
oh yeah, I'm going to write this riff so I can play it live like
all the time.
Like in the middle of a set all the time
or at the end of the set.
Or the yeah,
when I'm like tired.
Ugh.
Yeah, I that riff like makes no sense.
No.
Yeah, it's like anyway. Yeah, it was really difficult on Guitar Hero, I remember, trying to get past that song.
Well, yeah, it was on Guitar Hero 3.
Yep, ridiculously hard to get past. Just once you could get that past that part, it got a little more forgiving. But yeah, that part was really difficult. Anyway.
Raining Blood. Album, Rain in Blood, 1986.
And now, the moment that you've all been waiting for. Who did they put at number one? Or, I mean, what song? What could it be? What song, you're wondering? Maybe you've already guessed it. Maybe you haven't.
You've probably guessed it.
Probably.
If you know enough about Slayer, you've probably guessed it.
Maybe you have.
Maybe you haven't.
Maybe.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, next episode we'll be telling you. No. So the number one song that we have on here is South of Heaven.
South of Heaven.
This is our favorite. We'll say why after we play the segments. Here is the intro. Such an awesome intro, probably my favorite intro they've ever done. It's kind of like, maybe not, I mean, kind of a brother-sister song to Dead Skin Mask in the how it starts and builds up.
Yeah, some,
but I think this is still better, the intro, because you start with this, like, probably my favorite riff they've ever written, or lead, maybe, whatever, yeah. My favorite lead they've ever written, and then Lombardo's drumming to kind of build it up.
Oh yeah, it's,
is really,
it's,
like, sets the tone.
It's like the perfect sort of, like,
and then
get you going.
And then TA Tommy comes in with his, you know, he gets to yell in there, and then they bring it back with, like, now it's like dual harmony on that lead. It's just pure
a lot of heavy positive metal-less. A lot of positive aspects going on to that mega metal intro.
And it just, I don't know, it encapsulates a lot of what I think of when I think about Slayer, as far as like the tone and the content that I'm expecting out of him. Anyway, we got more of the song for you. Here we go. Conform a new fate, avidity and lust controlled by hate. The never ending search for your shattered sanity. Sons of damnation in their own reality. Chaos, rampant in an age of distrust. Confrontations, impulse of habitat. So that was just a little bit of the verse there. I really dig that verse riff. I think it's a good headbanger. Won't say much else besides we have to play this part of the song. So this part, the number one song gets three little segments. So here it is.
We'll be right back. I could listen to that, like, Tom Araya just shouting on and on, South of Heaven. Just like, that's all I need for, like, a Slayer show.
Plus, I really like the title of that song is so Slayer. They're South of Heaven. Slayer's South of Heaven.
That's,
I mean, what better way?
Which is, I'm most Slayer fans probably know it's like, but Tom Araya is like a practicing Christian.
Right.
And he like sings about.
Is he still? Do we know that he currently
is? I believe he is. Okay. Yeah.
I think he's kind of viewed it through like he puts on a character when he performs.
Yeah. If you go watch Slayer perform, and when like Tom Araya is up on the stage, it's like, yeah, it's definitely like a character. He's such a cool guy.
Yeah. He is actually really calm, and like, plus he now has a really awesome beard. Like,
yep,
an old wise wizard's beard.
He's
now.
Like a, he's like metal Santa.
Yeah.
Super nice.
So that was our top 10. We'd love for your thoughts on it. How much you liked or disliked, or how neutral you felt
where,
about
where
it.
You would shift things around. Maybe yeah. you'd put this,
what songs yeah. did we miss that you would have put in there, or how would you change? How would you rearrange it? Yeah, so it's a bummer that Slayer is going to be gone. And I think I agree with that. The world will not be the same without Slayer.
Yeah, like...
That's a heavy hit.
It is. That sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that... I don't know. I hope their legacy will continue to live on and appreciate it. And
I think it will. I think people will look back very favorably on what Slayer did for music. You know?
I think so, and I certainly hope so.
Yeah. So, Slayer rules.
Slayer rules.
That's what we got to say about that. So, remember that you can kind of find all our content, all our previous episodes and this episode at www.supermetalworld.com. If you have questions or you want to be on the podcast, anything you want to share with us, supermetalworld@gmail.com. You can find us on all the social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, search supermetalworld. We are on iTunes. Please subscribe, rate, review. It helps get our name out there.
Certainly does.
And reach more people. And we are very appreciative for those who take the time to do that. We have nothing to give you right now but our thoughts. So hopefully someday we can repay you guys somehow for writing the reviews. And yeah, I think that's all I got. You got anything else?
Horns high.
Yeah, horns high. Slayer rules.